Hi, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I'm going to be speaking with Kim from Canada, who is married, was working full-time, and was the mother of one child at the time she was prescribed a benzodiazepine for neck pain. Within a very short time, she developed severe digestive problems, tolerance, withdrawal, and actually became disabled to the point that she had to return to her parents to be cared for. I want you to hear her story of suffering, but more than anything, her recovery from what she went through. She eventually goes back to work and has two more children. Recovery is possible. After the podcast, please stay tuned for our post show. Thank you. Hi, Kim. Welcome to the podcast. I've been wanting to get you on for a while, and I'm so glad you agreed to do this.
Hi, Geraldine. I'm glad I'm doing this as well.
Yeah, because you're a short-term user. And you suffered greatly. And if I remember right, this all started when you were working, a full-time mom, and you had a problem with your neck. So can you tell us what happened from there?
Yep. So for me, it's been a long time since this has happened, but it was at the end of the 1990s. And I'm an avid water skier and started having problems with my chest muscles. So I went to the doctor and they prescribed Ativan for me. And at the time, they never even mentioned to me that this was addictive. They just said, this is a muscle relaxant, take this, and this should help you out. And yeah, so after that, then basically what happened was my digestive system went off like almost immediately. And I didn't make the connection between the drugs mm-hmm. and this. And so then it continued. And then I ended up having a procedure done because I had such heartburn. It was unbelievable. And at the time, then I stopped taking the Ativan because you had to fast. Didn't even mm-hmm. think about that. And then as soon as I stopped taking it, then all my problems started. And it was another year and a half of, trouble after that. So I'm not sure if you want me to.
So Kim, let me ask you this, because again, this has been a long time, you know, because you and I used to be on the phone a lot when this was all happening to you. So You had the immediate digestion problems, and then you go in for the surgery. And how long were you on it? Because if I remember right, you were on it for about 9 months. Was that right?
Yeah. So when I first went on it was in the fall, and it was already by December that I was in for a procedure for my stomach. So it was mm-hmm. very, very quick that I started having issues.
Right. And so when you came out of the procedure, did you take it again? Because, you were, because I think when you found me, and you're struggling. And every time you took a pill, if I remember right, you felt sicker until it was actually almost wearing off.
Yeah. So what happened was that I started. So before when I was on it, I didn't have any type of mental issues. It was all digestive. Then when I stopped taking it, then it was like I went into withdrawal. And mm-hmm. then I started becoming anxious. I started having sleep problems. And so then I went back to the doctor. And at this point, I was just really messed up. And the doctor said, oh, just take this and stuff will go away. Didn't make the connection that that was what was causing it. Right. So then it did stabilize for a while. I did get back stable, but they did have to up my dosage at that time.
Right. If I remember right, again, for both of us, it's a long time. Wasn't it like 3 milligrams in the end?
Yeah, there were some days that I probably took like 5, to be honest. So wow. I was on a pretty heavy dosage for sure.
Right. So now we reach out to, you know, you and I talk and, you know, none of us knew a lot back then. And we eventually have to reach out to Dr. Reg Pert over in the UK to help you because you were suffering so badly and you were working. So at what point do you have to leave work because you couldn't work anymore?
I actually stopped working probably in January of that year. I wasn't mm-hmm. able to go back to work. I just had such bad insomnia. And then I finally got it stabilized. And then what happened was, but the digestive issue didn't go away. And I went back to the doctor so many times and I couldn't breathe. And they did so many long x-rays because they thought it was my breathing. But I wasn't digesting any food. And so I actually went to a health food store. And the lady says, oh, that's easy. She says, I can fix your digestion. And honest, within a week, she had it fixed. But she said, your bigger problem is you're on these drugs. And I didn't even realize, it's crazy, but I didn't realize I was taking something so bad. Right. And so that's when I started doing a taper. And you guys had given me the schedule for that. And that worked really, really well. But then I wanted to get off them faster because I had seen an addiction doctor. And they said, it's just messing up your brain. And then mm-hmm. what happened is I tried doing a taper quicker. And then that's when the drug just totally turned on me. And that's when I ended up switching to Valium. And that was when I had talked to Reg Kurt. That was the suggestion, try to make the withdrawal easier.
Right. He did like a faster, because I can remember you saying, but as it wears out, I feel better. I don't want to take the poison anymore. Yep. And Reg would say, okay, but he had you taper like every week, boom, 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 till you got off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because it was at the point that no matter what I took, it wasn't helping. I wasn't getting any relief anymore. And the only reason that I continued to take the drug was because I was worried about seizures. Because it's an anti-seizure medication as well. So that was the only reason that I continued to taper. I just wanted to get off because I wasn't even put on it for anxiety, and it gave me all these host of symptoms. So,
And digestion still, even though it got corrected, it's still a little messed up at the time because you're taking the meds.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, for sure.
Now, one of the symptoms that you had, and I really haven't heard anybody else mention this, and because you became so debilitated, your brain would literally move in your head and knock your head back because your husband could see it, your parents could see it. Do you remember?
Yeah, absolutely.
That was horrible.
So what happened was I felt like my brain was literally turning in my head. It was the weirdest feeling, absolutely weirdest feeling. And that was probably the symptom that took the longest to go away. And I will say, even last year, I had that symptom come back, and I had it probably for about a week straight. My brain felt like it was just moving all the time.
Were you under any stress when that happened? Can you remember?
Getting to that age in my life where things are changing. So I think maybe hormones doesn't help either. Right. So,
well, you know, speaking of hormones, so you had a 3-year-old at the time, and I remember you were very worried because she would see you suffering so bad. And then you do go, your husband has you go back, live with your parents because you were literally being bathed and fed and fully taken care of. That's how disabling the drug made you. But as you recover, you go on to have 2 more children. I remember you saying, when I'm pregnant, I feel perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's the help of the barley greens as well. But you know what? Hormones absolutely make a difference.
Yeah. And I think for women, it really does affect us differently than the men.
Yeah.
So what turned your health around? Because now you go back to your parents, they're taking care of you. And what do you think, you're finally off the drugs. What is the turnaround? Because I know you did a lot of alternative stuff.
Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, when I talk to people, they think the biggest thing is as soon as you're off the drug, then you're home free. That's just the beginning. And, you know, these drugs do so much damage to your body. You definitely have to do a lot. For myself, I will say that the drugs damaged me to the point where my husband couldn't even take me out. Because if I went even into a store, everything was so overwhelming. And when I looked at stuff, it was like my brain had pieces of puzzle. It was trying to put the picture together. Mm-hmm. I wasn't even able to read. So I did do a few things. And one of the things was I had insomnia. I couldn't sleep. So I took tryptophan, an amino acid, and I took a very high dosage of it. I took it maybe once every 3 or 4 days, because if you take it every day, it doesn't work. And that helped me get the sleep that you need to heal. I did lots of juicing. My mom was phenomenal in helping me out and doing juicing. And the one thing I did have to do, because I was so damaged by these drugs, I did 2 things. And one was a cranial electrical stimulation machine that I used. And that was basically, it would help with the movement in my brain. And my parents actually flew me to another province to see a brain specialist. And he worked with lights and music to try to bring the speed of my brain back up, because I literally couldn't even read after coming off these drugs. And that did help.
And what type of doctor does that, Kim?
Well, that's a good question.
Was that his specialty? Was he a brain specialist?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. So he works with a lot of people that have AD&D. They deal with anxiety, depression, those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so what he does is he maps your brain, and then he finds out which waves are working and which ones aren't. And then he builds a program that plays sound and light, and then it forces your brain to either speed up or slow down in the areas that you need. And after I left my first treatment with him, like a first series of treatments, I was able to read no problem. I did go back again later just for a few bit of fuzziness in my head, and he was able to clear that as well. So,
right. And I just want to say, this is because this is how it affected you. This would not be for everybody. You had severe, like I said, in all these years, I never heard of anybody else having that same thing that happened to their brain.
Yeah.
Where it's not like you're just saying you feel it moving. People could see your head being knocked back, like your brain would push your head back. So
absolutely.
We just want to clarify that.
Yeah. And so, the other thing was, is that I always... Mine was really mental. It was really mental. I was so depressed. I had insomnia. And the other thing was, it was when I was withdrawing, and even for a while after, it felt like I was, I don't know if it's called derealization, but it was like I was watching everything. I wasn't really even there. I was watching life go by, and it was just the weirdest feeling. But just to be clear, all that stuff has gone away. I don't have any of it anymore. And I remember constantly phoning you and saying, I'm never going to be better. This is never going to go away. And I don't have that anymore. So,
right. And now, how long were you out of work? Because you were so disabled, you left work. How long before you went back? Because I was actually surprised, as you did some things to heal your body, how soon you went back. Did you go back part-time or full-time?
Yeah. So originally I was a full-time mom and working full-time and a mom. And it was, you know, December, January that I had to stop working. And it wasn't till the following year, it was March, until I was able to go back to work. And my employer was phenomenal. So what they allowed me to do is come in at night, because one of the things I found is my mornings were the worst. And as the day progressed, I felt a little bit better. So they allowed me to work nights until I was able to go back full time. And it was
probably
a few months before I was able to actually go back full time.
Yeah, that's wonderful that the company, and they knew you were damaged, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. And there was actually somebody else that was on Ativan there as well, but they just couldn't seem to come off the drugs, and they had issues as well. So they, you know, they had seen this before, but very supportive. I was lucky to have such an employer, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Because so many have lost their jobs, and, you know, it's just very sad. And what about your family, your church family, your friends? How did they respond to your illness?
So it's interesting. My mom, so I ended up living with my mom and dad for a while, because like you say, I literally couldn't even feed myself, couldn't bathe myself. I couldn't do anything. I was a mess. They were so supportive. They never gave up on me. Obviously my daughter was, too young, to know, you know, really what was going on. And as for my church, they were very supportive, always praying for me, you know, trying to give me all the support they can, give me things to read. And they were always by my side. Interestingly enough, my husband was very supportive, but he did tell me after, once I got better, that there was, he did have the thought of leaving, because he thought that I would never, ever be the same again. I was in such bad shape. So, but he stuck by me.
He did. He really did.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what natural medicines do you use today after what happened to you? Because I remember when you were having a problem with hormones, and you went to somebody and like, they just fixed it. You're like, I'm never going to a regular doctor again.
Yeah. You know, I don't, to get better, I use different things, but for now I really make sure I eat very, very clean. I unfortunately have developed colitis now, so I have to be very careful with what I take. But I don't take a lot of supplements, to be honest with you. I just try to juice, eat very, very clean, and definitely.
You're very athletic, right?
I'm athletic, very, very, and I try to do a lot of stuff to reduce stress. And obviously prayer is very important to me. So. And get out in nature, go for walks.
Right. So it's been years since you've been off. So I know you're not really in the benzo communities, because you've gone on with your life. You've got the three kids, your husband, you're still working full time, having a social life, but you've also been very helpful when every now and then, if somebody needs you, which is great, because you know the trauma, you've been there. I was going to say, and what is the biggest thing everybody asks you when I tell them how sick you were? You know, people think, oh, you know, you can't heal from that. And what's the biggest thing people ask you?
Well, they always want their biggest question is, will they get better? And so my answer to them is that I, from all the stories that I've listened to, I really think I was one of the sickest people from this. I just seem to react really bad to things. And I tell them, if I can get better, a person that their parents fed and bathed them, I had to get, you know, work done with my brain to actually so I could see things properly. I couldn't read. If I can get better, there's no reason that somebody else can. And the thing is that our bodies were designed to heal. And so it's always your body. Once you get off the drug, I always think your body is trying to find balance. And with all the people that I've worked with, I've seen it time and time again. Kim, am I going to get better? Kim, am I? Yes, you will. I've never seen where somebody has not gotten better and gone on with their life.
So. Right. But, you know, when there are a few, you know, I see them complaining that they're not getting better, but we're not living their lives. We don't know what they're doing, you know, how they're eating. And really, you had a very, as sick as you were, you had a very good attitude towards it. Although, you know, the one thing I always say, if somebody doesn't say they thought about suicide, taking their lives, they're a liar, because you were desperate at one point, just wanted to check out, as anybody would. It's so hard to suffer. And yet everybody came around you and you know, got you help. And it's support. Support is important.
So I was going to comment on that as well. I phoned you so many times, and you were definitely my rock to get through. I did take your advice not to go on some of the benzo groups, because sometimes it's negative, and right. It's good to talk to people that have been through it and have gotten better, because it's just so inspirational. And I thank you and everybody else that, you know, took the time to constantly listen to me cry on the phone and reassure me that, yeah, you will get better. Yeah. And I did, for sure.
As much as the support groups are great, I mean, they really are, especially when you have somebody that's not paying attention, your family, your friends. But like you said, it's the negativity, and people are giving advice to people when they don't know them. And I think it's gotten hard. And there are so many groups now, it's ridiculous. Before, we only had the one that I had started, and everybody kind of knew each other, which was nice. Yeah. And as it grew, you know, and it's nice to have your benzo friends, but I think go on when you need somebody and know what you have to do. And of course, my big thing is, if somebody could, you know, get their body healthy first and then come off. But in your case, they literally had harmed you. And I know for years, your digestion, you were still, even though it was working, you were still having problems, right? I know that went on for quite a while, because you were doing like different fibers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It took, like, the lady did, the one from the health food store did help with the heartburn. But after that, I had, you know, H. pylori. It seemed like I constantly had digestive issues. Mm-hmm. I think I'm finally past that, but it did take years to finally address, you know, candida, all the stuff that seems to go with it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I got all of that too. So before we started the show, I had asked you if you remembered, I remember you had severe fatigue, and then you would call me once and said, oh, I had a food allergy test done, and I'm not supposed to have milk, bananas, and beef. And you couldn't remember it because it's been so long.
No.
And I remember when you cut those three things out. And again, it was only for, they wanted you to cut it out for 6 months, and you did. And the fatigue lifted. So this is how much digestion can affect us.
Yeah. And I will say now, one of the things that I suffer from, and my daughter suffers from, is histamines. And again, it's all food related. So it's really important to get that stuff sorted out.
Yeah. I do see it. There's histamine groups now, and there are a lot of benzo people doing like a low histamine diet.
Yep.
And I'm not that I fully understand it, but I have, you know, seen that on the groups.
Yeah. Fatigue definitely goes with that as well. So again, if I have issues, then I check out my, eating too much of this histamine food. I bring it, you know, I go back to low histamine, and then that helps as well. So.
Right. So what would you say to somebody today who wanted to start taking a benzo, or who is trapped trying to taper, or they're off and they're suffering, you know, what's the major advice you would give them?
It's interesting enough, because my daughter's starting to have problems with anxiety, and she went to a counselor, and I was very disappointed in the school counselor, because yesterday they told her that, you know what, maybe you should take an anti-anxiety drug. I lost my mind and said, do you understand what mom does to help people? And the stuff that I went through. So for anybody that wants to start, I would say, please don't. it's too hard to stop. It's not good for you. There's so many other alternatives that you can take. And for anybody that wants to get off, it's difficult. It's probably the hardest thing that I have done, but it is so worth it to get your life back. And there's just so much support out there to help you get through. I think they know so much more now about it than they did back when I was coming off. And I think there's a lot more support. So
there is a lot more, and we know a lot more. And, you know, I always say to people, I think digestion and the liver are the two main things to look at. And if you, before you start tapering, if you can get those working better, you are not going to suffer like we all did back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Kim, I mean, I'm trying, you know, because it's been so many years, I just wanted people to get a real look at somebody who, for that short-term user, suffered. And I think you did a really good job. And unfortunately, today we don't have Dr. Pert anymore. He passed away, but he was wonderful when we needed that knowledge.
Absolutely.
Because we were all learning from each other back then. You know, it was all so new.
Yeah.
So we were lucky, and he, you know, he knew that everything that we went through was real. So between Professor Ashton and Dr. Pert, we were very, very lucky what we learned from them. So I really want to thank you for doing this today, because with the time
Absolutely.
Differences and you're working, I really appreciate it. And I think this will help a lot of people.
One thing I will say is that, you know, the one thing I find that when I'm talking to people is I always say, okay, once you get past getting off your drugs, you're going to have, excuse me, this glimmer. You're going to have like maybe 5 minutes where, hey, I feel okay. And then the next day, maybe it's a little bit more. Just keep looking for those glimmers, because they just get to be more and more. And that's what got me through. I would have a, you know, an hour of good, and then maybe the rest of the day is bad, but I clung to those. And eventually every day is like that now. So it does happen.
Yeah. That's great advice. Great advice. Thank you, Kim, for doing this.
Okay,
I appreciate it.
Thank you, Geraldine.
All righty.
Okay, take care.
Bye. Okay, Garrett, we just finished the interview with Kim, who I've been wanting to get on here for a while, because, you know, we've had some long-term users, but Kim was a short-term user who it immediately harmed her digestion, which is something that I'm always talking to people about. Check your digestion, because these drugs harm them. And one of the questions I had, her and I had asked, you were young at the time. And I remember one time she was very sick and worried about how her daughter would react to her crying all the time. And I'm like, she's not going to remember it. And I think even one time, but it's been so long that she wanted to talk to you on the phone, but you don't remember it. She doesn't remember it. It's been too many years. But it was good to hear, because, you know, even though we do these podcasts and, you know, I'm asking questions, you know, she's talking about when we used to be on the phone. People just don't realize the amount of suffering. She suffered terribly. I mean, I am, in all these years, what she went through with her brain, and it's not just the sensation. That's why I really wanted to talk about this. It was literally knocking her head back. And
yeah, I thought it was interesting that she said she thinks that she probably suffered the most. And, you know, just listening to this podcast, you've heard so many people go through different things, and you don't hear people say, I've suffered the most. And to listen to her talk now, you'd be like, how could that be the case? Because just listening to her voice, she sounds, you know, fine.
Yeah.
But from your experience with her and from her, she was pretty confident that, you know, she may have had the worst case.
She had something, first of all, fully disabled to the point her husband has to send her back to her parents. She is fed and bathed and fully taken care of. That is how sick she was. So she was very disabled.
Yeah, I don't think that we could say anybody that we've interviewed on here was near that, would you?
No. I always say there were two that I thought would die from their withdrawal being so bad. I didn't think Kim would die, but I knew she was one of the sickest at the time. And again, this is years ago that you know, that's how long I've known her. And it's just something we want people to know. This is real. Whatever you're experiencing, if somebody else doesn't have it, that doesn't mean it isn't real. Now, could there be people having what she has? Possibly. I'm not in all the support groups now. I look here and there, but I don't know. But that was something we certainly, you know, we knew how sick she was, and it was very, very hard what she went through. But the main point here is recovery is possible, even from that sick. And she goes back to work, and she goes on to have two more children. And she's she's beautiful. I don't think she's aged a day in all this time I've known her. She's very athletic. They really are outdoors person, you know, when they're done with work and they're off, you know, having their wonderful weekends. So she has a full life again. And I think people need to know life will come back to you.
Yeah. We've talked about it before. I think the overarching theme of this entire podcast with everybody that we interview is there's hope. No matter what, there's hope.
That's right.
And so I think, you know, listening to these stories of different people, if it provides you with a little bit more hope, that, you know, you're hearing case after case of people that were in these terrible situations, whether it's because they were suffering so badly or because they had a tough family situation or a tough work situation with it, that there's a road back.
Right. So I want to address something else while we're here. I noticed that somebody posted on one of the groups that they put up all these different, they're like, hey, did you know there were podcasts for benzodiazepines? And I post in all these groups, but you know, you don't always see everything every day. So the best thing we can ask people, if you're listening to this, subscribe on the podcast app, subscribe on YouTube, especially on YouTube, you will, I mean, you can subscribe on both, but on YouTube, you'll get a notice every time we put out a new one. So,
Liking the videos on YouTube and on the podcast app, or commenting, just even like a thumbs up helps us. So.
It does. But I, you know, when you, if you don't want to have it like always come in, not that I'm technologically smart, but you could shut the bell off, but you could still subscribe and then shut the bell off. But I mean, if this is something of my interest, I would want to get a notice. I have certain things that I get a notification every time a new one goes up on YouTube, and I like to have those. So, Anyway, that's just something we're always telling people. Just subscribe and you'll know. So it's kind of odd where we are putting them in the groups and then people are like, I never knew that they were there. So we are here. We're going to continue to bring different stories. You know, mostly we want to show success stories. We'll bring on more professionals. So, you know, I want to thank you again. I really appreciate all the wonderful comments that we get. It means a lot. And it just reminds me that this is why we're doing it. You know, we're bringing hope. You know, we're bringing recovery stories. Anything else, Garrett, that you want to add?
I think that's it.
All right. I want to thank you all for listening again.